ಸದಾಶಿವಸಮಾರಂಭಾಂ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಮಧ್ಯಮಾಂ ಅಸ್ಮದಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಪರ್ಯಂತಾಂ ವಂದೇ ಗುರುಪರಂಪರಾಂ ಸದ್ಗುರುಚರಣಾರವಿಂದಾಭ್ಯಾಂ ನಮಃ. ಬಿಫೋರ್ ವಿ ಗೋ ಟು ದಿ ನೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಶ್ಲೋಕ 442, ಈವೆಂಟ್ ಅಪ್ ಟು 441, 442, I would just like to refresh the topic we are in. Shankaracharya, he has given a very comprehensive picture of the Vedantic teaching, and he has elaborately dealt with the various sadhanas consisting of Shravanam, Mananam and Nididhyasanam. And the topic of Nididhyasanam was very elaborately and very uniquely dealt with up to shloka 417, and from 418 onwards Shankaracharya is dealing with the phalam or the benefit of this knowledge, the jnana phalam, which is presented in the shastras as moksha or mukti, and that mukti is the topic that we are seeing now, which goes up to shloka 471, that is 418 to 471 is the jnana phalam. And when we talk about jnana phalam, we have a twofold approach in the shastras, and that has to be clear to us, otherwise there can be confusion regarding moksha. So until we come to Vedanta, the word I, that had only one meaning, that is Sharira Trayam, the body, which has the borrowed consciousness, Chidabhasa Sahita Sharira Trayam, otherwise called Ahankara, ego, for the word I. That's what we have been knowing until we came to Vedanta. As Ahankara, then what do I have? I have birth, I have karma, I have karma phalam, I have prarabdha. At the end of prarabdha, I lose this physical body, then I travel, I take another physical body, the entire cycle. So the word I has only one meaning, that is the limited karta bhokta ahankara I. And therefore, the scriptures talk about moksha also in a general term. As one will be free from sorrow, one will be free from dukkham, punarjanma and all that. But once we thoroughly study Vedanta, then we come to know that ahankara is only a relative empirical I, and the real I is the Sakshi Chaitanyam, the original consciousness. By now you should be all familiar with these terms. So which consciousness is nothing but Brahman, which is all-pervading, which is asangaha, which is nirgunam, which is shuddham and all that. So this is the second meaning of I. I know this after Vedanta. So there are two aspects to my I, the ahankara aspect and the sakshi aspect. So whenever I transact in the world, the ahankara I and sakshi I are both present together. They cannot be physically separated because Sakshi is all-pervading. How can Ahankara be taken away from Sakshi? Because it is all-pervading. Similarly, Sakshi also cannot be taken away from Ahankara because Ahankara cannot exist without the presence of Sakshi. So the word I is a mixture of both. And since it is a mixture of Ahankara or the relative I, and Sakshi, the absolute I, at any time I can refer to any one of them. So when I refer to Ahankara I will refer to what? As Ahankara Pradhana Aham. And when I refer to the Sakshi I, it is Sakshi Pradhana Aham. And when we say a particular person is a Jnani, then are you referring to the Ahankara Pradhana Aham or Sakshi Pradhana Aham will be the question. Sakshi cannot be Jnani also. For Jnanam belongs to what? Jnanam belongs to Antakaranam, which is Ahankara. And At another time, if he says, Aham Brahma Asmi, which Aham then is referred to here? Here the Aham refers to the Sakshi alone. Because the Sakshi Chaitanyam alone is Brahman. So, Ahankara, which is Sharira Traya Chidabhasa, can never be Brahman. And these two angles are there. Moksha can be described from the standpoint of Ahankara Pradhana I and Sakshi Pradhana I. Because these are all some fundamental confusions people can have. That's why I'm spending some time to just make people understand how the differences should be understood properly. So when we describe a jnani who has got compassion, for example, he has got compassion, he has got love, all that. Advesta sarva bhutana maitra karunaha nirmamaha nirahankaraha shama dukkha sukaha vitaraga bhaya krodaha, all those things which Bhagavad Gita says. There are no more negative emotions with that person at all. He has got all positive virtues. So when you describe a person like this, it is the description of which I, the Ahankara I or the Sakshi I. It is the Ahankara I alone. Because if I talk about the residual vasanas, residual viparita bhavana, dehatma buddhi, that continues. Viparita bhavana continues. Then viparita bhavana belongs to which I? Ahankara only. Therefore, one way of looking at moksha is from the standpoint of ahankara and the other way of looking from the standpoint of sakshi. So, when we look at moksha from ahankara standpoint, it is a gradual phenomenon. One has to talk about the gradation of moksha also. That is, first jnanam is gained, that is through shravanam. And that is from the standpoint of what? Ahankara only again, jnanam. And thereafter doubts are removed. That is also from the standpoint of what? Ahankara only. And even after the removal of doubts, there is a lot of viparita bhavana, habitual tendencies, again belonging to what? Ahankara only. Therefore, we study moksha from ahankara standpoint. It is a very gradual and it is a very graded process also. First, I am a jnani, then I become a better jnani, I remove all the doubts, and even then I have all the habitual anger, depression, worry, all those, and they are all gradually removed. Thus, moksha becomes a gradual process from the standpoint of ahankara. And not only it is a gradual process, we have to talk about two types of moksha also. One is jivan mukti. When ahankara is associated with the present body, it is jivan mukti. And what is videha mukti? When the present body is gone and a new body does not come, then it is called videha mukti. So, from the ahankara angle, moksha has got gradation because the obstacles are gradually removed. And one can never clearly point out this person is a jivan muktaha. This person is not. For example, exactly at what time the day breaks, if somebody asks the question, what time the day breaks, we can never say. For example, it is 5 a.m. It is slightly bright. 5:15, it is a bit more bright. 5:30, bit more. So one can never clearly be able to say, I am a jivan mukta. Due to the various gradations. So we may be able to only qualitatively say, even though problems are around, I don't seem to react to them. They don't have as much impact on me. These are all qualitative statements. Due to this gradation of moksha only, some scriptures, they talk about what? Brahmavit Varaha, Brahmavit Variyan, Brahmavit Varishtaha, all those different terms we have seen, all from the standpoint of what? Ahankara. From the standpoint of Sakshi. Not only that, one has to divide Mukti also into two. Jivan Mukti, when this body is there, and Videha Mukti, when this body is gone. Whereas, when I look at Moksha from the Sakshi standpoint, So far, ahankara standpoint. Now, when you look at it from the sakshi standpoint, then let us see, when do I get moksha? after studying Vedanta, do I say that I have got moksha now? I can never say now, I have got moksha. My understanding is what? I was, I am, and I ever will be muktaha. That is after study of Vedanta and assimilating the ideas of Vedanta. And how much viparita bhavana I, the sakshi, have? I as sakshi have no bhavana at all. And where is the question of then viparita bhavana? No viparita. Ahankara has, but sakshi doesn't have. So there is no question of viparita bhavana nivrittihi when you look at from the sakshi I. Problems belong to anatma. Anatma will have various situations. My moksha has no connection to viparita bhavana nivritti at all. Then what about freedom from punarjanma? Will have punarjanma at all or not? The answer is, punarjanma is what? Freedom from rebirth. And my knowledge is what? Atma does not have one birth itself. When I look at it from the sakshi point of view, my knowledge is Atma does not have even one birth. Then where is the question of rebirth? Therefore, I don't have the very question of rebirth, and so moksha is not a gradual process at all from sakshi drishti. So from ahankara drishti, it is gradual, it has gradation. From sakshi drishti, there is no such gradation at all. The moment I understand I am sakshi clearly, thereafter there is no gradation at all. And also there is no question of jivan mukti and videha mukti difference, which are all from what point of view? From ahankara angle only. So as far as sakshi is concerned, it is ever free from body, anatma. In fact, all the bodies are resting in me, the sakshi chaitanyam. One body arriving and one body departing does not make any difference to me at all. In me, the sakshi chaitanyam, hundreds of bodies raise and go, and I am not associated with any body from the sakshi angle. Every body exists in me, but at the same time, I am not associated with any. Either I am nitya sadehaha or I am nitya videhaha. So, videhatvam is not a future event. Therefore, whenever we get the description of moksha, we should always know which is the description from the ahankara standpoint and which is the one from the sakshi standpoint. We have to understand that clearly. If I have to enjoy absolute moksha, I have to look from the sakshi angle only. From the ahankara angle, there will be always something or the other. So this we should remember as we study the moksha description. With this background now, let us go to 442. That is the reason why I wanted to spend a few minutes to go through these differences and bring out the concepts clearly, so that when we read these shlokas, it won't cause any confusion. We will understand from what angle the acharya is trying to describe this moksha. Shloka 442. Vijnata brahma tattvasya yatha purvam na samsrutihi asti chena sa vijnata brahma bhavo bahirmukha. So from the sakshi standpoint, from the real I standpoint, Shankaracharya, he points out that the moment you clearly understand I am sakshi, thereafter there is no question of getting moksha, because sakshi happens to be ever muktaha. Liberation does not arrive. It is my nature. The word my means what? Sakshi atma. Therefore, vijnata brahma tattvasya, vijnata brahma tattvasya, vijnata brahma tattvasya. For a person who has clearly understood that I am not ahankara, but I am sakshi, yata purvam samsrutihi na, there is no question of samsara at all, samsrutihi, as it was superimposed before. It is not that before knowledge sakshi had samsara. Again, we have to be clear. Not before knowledge sakshi never had samsara. Sakshi never had samsara any time. Before knowledge, I thought there was samsara. After knowledge, I know there is no samsara. And suppose one says, I know I am Sakshi, but still I have samsara. If somebody says, this is very, very common, because they will all say, you know, oh, normally to the teacher, even many times I also get these questions. You have taught all these things nicely, no problem. I have understood very clearly also. Aham Brahmasmi and all that thing, concepts are there. My only problem is what? My son is not all right. Who am I then? He says, I am Brahman. And he says, son is not all right. My son. That means what? Brahman's son is not all right. What is the snag? From Sakshi I to Ahankara I slip. Then remember the Mamakara son. I first slip from Sakshi I to Ahankara I. Then I think about my son. That means what? Mamakara? Mine. Mamakara son, I think about it. Remember? Then what happens? Worry comes. Worry comes to whom? Sakshi or Ahankara? Ahankara only. Sakshi has no worry. So I, from Sakshi, I come down to Ahankara. And so how can I claim that I am liberated ever? Never. So we are dangling. We are oscillating between Sakshi and Ahankara. As long as this discrimination is not clear, there will be vagueness only. There will be confusion only. Therefore, Shankaracharya says, if a person says, I know Brahman, and I have got problem in my family, then Shankaracharya says what? The statement that I am Brahman is confusion for you. The one who says that I have got problem has not understood Vedanta. He says, asti chet. Suppose a person says, I know Vedanta, I know Brahman, and I have problem also. That is, I have jnanam also, and samsara also, if somebody says. Shankaracharya says, saha na vijnata brahma bhavaha. He does not know what he is saying. It is a statement, but he does not mean what he says. He has not understood. It does not come from his heart, because if he really analyzes, he won't make that statement. It is coming from his lip alone. And therefore, jnanam and samsara can never coexist. Therefore, saha na vijnata brahma bhavaha. He is not a jnani. Then who is he? Bahirmukha. He is extrovert. Here, extrovertedness has got a finer meaning. We have to understand it clearly also. Extrovertedness does not require looking at the world at all. Coming from Sakshi to Ahankara itself is extrovertedness. The very individualization of I, looking at myself as an individual, that itself is an extrovertedness, because my real nature is Sakshi. So coming from Sakshi to Ahankara itself is extrovertedness. So Bahirmukaha. He looks himself only as an individual. Even he studies moksha as an individual I, that is not what the teaching of Vedanta is. So confusion. Sloka 443. Prachina vasana vegat asau samsaratiti chet na sadhe katva vijnanat mandhi bhavati vasana. So the student does not understand what Shankaracharya is trying to convey. What he conveys? The moment I know I am Sakshi, very clear, and once it is a doubtless fact, Ahankara's conditions are not my conditions. And therefore, I never look at myself from the Ahankara standpoint at all. When it is clear, I am Sakshi. Then moksha is not even immediate. It is an eternally obtaining fact. This is what Shankaracharya is trying to convey. But what the student does is what? He is trying to look at moksha from Ahankara standpoint only. Therefore, Shankaracharya says, okay, you don't understand, and so I will come down. I will compromise. And I will also describe moksha from Ahankara angle. And what will I say? You will not get moksha immediately after knowledge. From jnanam alone is not sufficient for moksha. Jnana nishta is required. Jnanam alone is not sufficient. Jnana nishta is required. Because even after knowledge, Ahankara can suffer because of vasanas. So further sadhanas are required to eliminate Ahankara's problems. So the student asks the question, "Oh Guru, I am a jnani." That is Ahankara. Even though what is the jnanam? I am not Ahankara is the jnanam. Even though that is the jnanam actually. So how it becomes entangled? He says, I am a jnani, that is the Ahankara. Even though jnanam is supposed to be Ahankara is, I am not Ahankara is the jnanam a person has to gain. So I am an enlightened, confused jnani. Perhaps still I have problems. And what problem? Prachina vasana vegat. Because of the force, vega, force of the old vasanas, prachina vasana. Vega means momentum. Even after, for example, switching of the fan will still run, right, for some time. Therefore, because of the dehatma vasana, body identification, asau samsarati. This person suffers from what? From reactions. What are the reactions? Raga, dvesha, kama, krodha, all those reactions. So, all these reactions, they belong to what? Ahankara or Sakshi? Ahankara only. And those reactions of Ahankara, I consider them as my problem. So, samsarati iti chet, if that is the problem, then Shankaracharya says, okay, I will take you hereafter as Ahankara. I wanted to look at you as Sakshi, but this is the problem you have. You are not permitting me to do that. So now on, I will describe moksha from only the Ahankara angle. Therefore, what have you to do? You have to eliminate the vasanas. How? Through nididhyasanam, nididhyasanena. By constantly saying, I am not the body, I am not the mind, I am the Sakshi. So, sadekatva vijnanat. Because of sad ekatvam. Sad means Brahman. And eka means non-dual. By vijnanam. So this by nididhyasanam, by dwelling upon the non-dual Brahman, that is I, then what will happen? The vasanas. He does not say it will be eliminated. Remember, Ahankara can never be free from vasanas totally. These are all again, we have to understand some of those. There is no total freedom from vasanas because vasanas have been gathered from infinite janmas. So what is possible? One can try to reduce the impact of vasanas. There also we talk about, you know, Shubha vasanas and Ashubha vasanas. Shubha vasanas will have lesser problems. Ashubha vasanas will have more problems. Therefore, eliminate all Ashubha vasanas and try to reduce the impact of Shubha vasana. For example, if you have a Shubha vasana, for example, we all know Shubha vasana, a person, he gets up early, he takes bath, he does his prayers, all those things, you know, he has Shubha vasana, he does all this. And there are other members in the family, this is a very common fact, there are other members in the family, as Swamiji says, for whom the day does not dawn until 9 a.m. or 10 a.m. They don't take bath and even continue the day with the nighties or whatever. So what will happen to this guy, the Shubha vasana guy? He will get extremely irritated looking at them, seeing those so-called modern people. Swamiji, this is what he used the term. And Shubha vasana, for him, is it sukha karanam or dukha karanam? He has got Shubha vasana, but he is living in that environment. He gets irritated. So this Shubha vasana that he has, is it sukha karanam or dukha karanam for him? It irritates. This is called golden bondage. And therefore, as long as Ahankara is there will be vasanas, whether it is a Shubha vasana or Ashubha vasana, they will create problems. So what can you do? You can try to reduce them. So by nididhyasanam, mandi bhavati, the vasanas will become weaker. As we said earlier, three things will get gradually, they have to come down. If you remember, the frequency, the intensity of your negative reactions and the recovery period. So the frequency of negative reactions, intensity of negative reactions and the recovery period. The most intense reaction is at the three levels. What are those three levels? At the thought level, at the word level and at action level. and the less intense reaction is at the level of thought and word, and the least intense reaction is at the thought level. I don't utter a word, I don't do anything. This is called mandi bhavaha. So that mental level, some jealousy, some anger, they might come, but it will also go away. Only that much is possible with respect to what? Ahankara drishtya, moksha can be only reduction of these three problems. Therefore, sadekatva vijnanatam vasana mandi bhavati. It gets weakened. Mandi bhavati. Shloka 444.
Atyanta kamukasyapi vritti kuntati matarim tataiva brahmani jnate purnanande manishinaha.
All these are all from what angle? From the ahankara angle, ahankara drishtya. What happens? How our reactions get a transformation. And that is the description. The more I practice nididhyasanam of what? Of satyam brahma, the world's mithyatvam becomes prominent. World becomes mithya, mithya, that thought. The world will lose its reality. For example, as the sun rises, if you keep a small flame, a lamp outside of the house, gradually, seemingly, it becomes dimmer. Not the light becomes dim, but the sunlight is so bright. As the sunlight gets brighter and brighter, this looks like, seemingly, it becomes dimmer. That the flame loses its impact, and you won't know the presence of that flame at all, maybe in the afternoon, in the midday. But during midnight, it becomes very bright. Similarly, Brahma Bhavana weakens the reality of the world. More and more I am in the Brahma Bhavana, the world becomes, the reality of the world, it weakens. When the reality of the world comes down, then our reactions of raga, reactions and dvesha towards mithya vastu will also come down. Because it's a mithya vastu. Where is the question of raga, dvesha against a mithya vastu? So, weakening of raga, dvesha, that takes place. This is called a perspective change. There is no change in the world. The world is as is. But there is a change in my perspective. So, Krishna, he tells it in the Gita, Nap prakarshet priyam prapya nat udvichet prapya cha priyam. Previously, when one good news comes, what do? I jump to the top of the ceiling. And when one bad news comes, I cry for days. Now, the very same thing that takes place, na prakrishye, there is no elation nor depression. There is no change in the world, but there is change in my perspective. And therefore, the reaction also changes. So, purnanande brahmani jnate. Second line, if you take, when that Brahman, which is Purna Ananda Swarupam, that is when that is known, Brahman becomes more and more real to me. And the world becomes more and more mithya to me. Manishinaha. Manishinaha refers to the wise person. He becomes a jnana nishtaha. Manishi. Jnana nishtasya. And how it happens? Because of constant nididhyasana. So, when I want moksha from ahankara angle, nididhyasana becomes extremely important. And for that nididhyasaka purushaha, vrittihi kuntati. The reaction weakens. It gets blunted. Vrittihi means thoughts. Thoughts in the mind. Kuntati means they become blunt. Like a sharp knife which is rubbed against a very rough surface, for example, it becomes blunt. And a blunt knife cannot wound other people. Similarly, sharp reactions, sharp words, sharp actions, wounding words, they all get blunted. So, vrittihi kuntati. Kuntanam means blunting. So, even the displeasure is not expressed very strongly. All sharp reactions go away. And he gives an example here. What is the example? Atyanta kamukasya. For a passionate person, a kami, even for that kama soaked, kama dominant person. Matari, when he looks at his own mother, he can never have an inappropriate response at all. Even the worst kami will not have an inappropriate response when he looks at his own mother. And the perspective is what? She is my mother. In the same way, this jnani has a totally different perspective. Therefore, the world is incapable of generating passion in him. Strong kama, krodha, strong lobha, strong matsarya, all those things, they don't affect him anymore. None of them the world can generate in him. That is what is given in the Bhagavad Gita. Dukkeshu anudvignamanaha sukeshu vigatasprihaha vitaraga bayakrodaha. But can the reaction become zero? If you ask, we have to be again careful. Ahankara drishtya, they can never become zero. From the angle of standpoint of ahankara, they can never become zero. They can become so mild that they won't tell upon my life. They won't create a deep scar in me. But one can never make them zero. Zero is possible when? Sakshi drishtya. I am absolutely free from all these, from the sakshi angle. From ahankara drishtya, even ragadvesha cannot become zero. This is why actually Swami Dayananda, he says nicely, if you have got, for example, one jnani from each state of India, so many states, so many jnanis, representative jnanis from each state, and you give, for example, a buffet lunch for all of them, you have got so many dishes of different tastes, what happens? The jnani from a particular state, he will go after the food of a particular state only, his state only. But if you serve anything, he will eat, if you serve. But if he has to go and pick up from a buffet, he will go and take the food that he is familiar with from his own state, if choice is given. So, indriyasya arthe ragadveshav vyavasthitav. That's what Krishna said. Ahankara will have its ragadvesha. Krishna will love to play flute. Saraswati will love to play the veena, right? But Saraswati will love to play not the flute, but the veena only. Even though both are gods. Ahankara drishtyam, total emotionlessness is not possible. Then what is possible? Kunti bhavaha, that is, it's one word, mandi bhavaha. They can be made non-consequential. Mandi bhavaha. That's what they can be made. Sloka 445. Nididhyasana shilasya bahya pratyaya ikshyate braviti shrutiretasya prarabdham paladarshanate. So Shankaracharya says, therefore, from the ahankara angle, there will be scope for ups and downs in life. And so, scope for varieties of experiences and responses. Uniform response from ahankara is not possible. And when it becomes milder, the reactions are not thrown outside. So, in the face, the calmness will be there. In the language also, there can be calmness. But at the mental level, they will be there. It will not be damaging either to oneself or to others. Therefore, he says, nididhyasana shilasya. Even for a person who is constantly practicing nididhyasanam, he cannot sit in samadhi permanently. So, there will be time when he has to interact with the world. He has to transact with the world. Even if I run away from society and transaction and sit in the forest, what will be there in the forest also? There will be mosquitoes, there will be animals, there will be various weather conditions. So, bahya pratyaya ikshyate. Bhava prasyate. Bahya. There will be response with respect to the external world. Bahya pratyaya. Bahya pratyaya means transactions, bond, transaction bond responses. All those responses which are born out of transaction and the reactions, consequent reactions, they cannot be avoided. Pratyayaha means thoughts. If news about any calamity happens anywhere even, some earthquake, some place, there will be at least the empathetic reaction, which cannot be avoided. Therefore, what the Shastras say, ahankara of even a jnani will be influenced by his prarabdha. Jnani's ahankara can never be uniform. If someone asks whether jnani will have prarabdha or not, then we should ask back the question, from what angle? Sakshi pradana jnani or ahankara pradana jnani? If from the angle of ahankara, the ahankara pradana jnani has got prarabdha. Therefore, Shankaracharya says, shrutihi etasya ahankara rupa jnaninaha prarabdham braviti. Shruti talks about prarabdha. I hope, you know, we all remember what is prarabdha, what is agami, what is sanchita karmas and all that thing. We don't have to go through that again. Therefore, prarabdha will be there. And what is the proof? Phala darshanat, because we are seeing the result of prarabdha, the phalam. One jnani is healthy, another jnani is sick. One has got lot of name and fame, another is not even known. One jnani has got lot of students, for the other nobody comes to him at all. Why? All due to prarabdha. Students prarabdha also, to go to his guru. So, ahankara drishtya, jnani will have all ups and downs. And what about reactions? Reactions can be minimized by nididhyasanam. So, prarabdham asti, and the proof is pala darshanat. His very biography is the proof. Shloka 446.
Sukhadyanubhavo yavate tavat prarabdhamishyate phalodaya kriya purvaha nishkriyo nahi kutrachite.
So what is the proof for prarabdha? So sukha dukha anubhavaha, that is the proof for prarabdha. And ahankara is bound to have sukha, dukha, all those experiences. Even if the world is very nice to him, he gets all wonderful set of people. Maybe the guru has all obedient shishyas. And if one can manage to avoid all the external problems by ordering your life in such a way, the prarabdha will still do its job through what? Through the body. Even though all the external parameters, they are all fine, prarabdha will still act through the body, because prarabdha has to give sukha and dukkha. And if one manipulates the world so that the external conditions are all conducive, the prarabdha will start working through the body. Therefore, the body will go through varieties of experiences. If prarabdha is good, he will have a very healthy body, healthy old age, peaceful death. But if it is not, even a jnani's body will go through the biological pain, and the mind also will be certainly influenced by body condition. Strong nididhyasanam can reduce the adverse reactions to the pain. So prarabdha will have to be gone through. No escape from that. Therefore, what is the use of reacting to that? You can reduce. You cannot make it zero, because it's part of nature. Mind will be affected by the condition of the body. It can be made mandi bhavaha, but it can never be made zero. Therefore, sukhadi anubhavaha yavat. As long as sukha, dukkha, all those experiences are there, prarabdham ishyate. One has to infer prarabdha. Because prarabdha is adrishtam, cannot be seen, it is invisible. One has to arrive at prarabdha only by inference. And what is that? Jnani going through all kinds of biological conditions. And this prarabdha is born out of what? Phalodayaha kriya purvaha. This prarabdha is preceded by good and bad actions in the purva janma. Purva janma. Prarabdha is what? Karma phalam, which is preceded by karma. Therefore, phalodayaha means karma phala udayaha, is always preceded by karma. He need not have done evil actions after this in this janma at all. He need not have done evil actions even in this entire birth. Some evil action done in some past birth. It can choose to give disease in this birth. Therefore, kriya purvaha. And nishkriyaha kutrachit na. There is no ahankara which is actionless. Ahankara will have to do action. And so its palam has to be experienced. If ahankara has been without action, there would not have been prarabdha at all. If without action. But actionless ahankara, it does not exist. Nishkriyaha, karmarahitaha, without a karma. Ahankaraha kutrachit nasti. It's not there. Therefore, ahankara drishtya, jivan mukti can be what? Making the reactions feeble. Sakshi drishtya, mukti can be absolute. Shloka 447.
Aham brahmeti vijnanat kalpakoti shatarjitam sanchitam vilayam yati prabodat swapna karmavate.
So, jnani, the enlightened or informed ahankara, God prarabdha karma, that was said even for the greatest jnani. So, even for the informed jnani and all, prarabdha karma. So, actually the analysis of prarabdha, if you really look at this, the way Acharya develops it, started from sloka 445 and that goes up to 463. He describes it very elaborately. Now, what about sanchita karma? We talked about prarabdha karma. What about sanchita karma? Which is the punya papa accumulated in infinite past janmas. Whereas prarabdha is that small portion of sanchita karma which has already started to fructify this particular janma. So prarabdha cannot be avoided, but sanchita is totally destroyed because of jnana. Therefore he says, aham brahmeti vijnanat. Because of the powerful knowledge, aham brahma asmi sanchitam vilayam yati. All the sanchita karmas are burnt down. Just as a radiation treatment destroys, for example, all the cancerous cells. Similarly, Atma Jnana radiation will destroy all the Sanchita Karmas. What is that? Kalpa Koti Shata Arjitam. The Sanchita Karma accumulated in Kalpa Koti Shatam, hundreds of crores of Kalpas. We know what is Kalpa. Brahmaji is 124 hour day is called a Kalpa. One kalpa consists of 2000 chatur yugas. I have already mentioned this earlier. For example, a chatur yuga is supposed to be 4,320,000 years is one chatur yuga. 432,000 is Kali Yuga. Twice that is Dwapara. Kali Yuga is Treta Yuga. Four times is Krita Yuga or Satya Yuga. If you add all of them, it becomes 4,320,000 years. And 1,000 Chatur Yugas make a 12-hour day of Brahmaji. Another 1,000 make a 12-hour night of Brahmaji. So, 2,000 Chatur Yugas, 2,000 multiplied by 4,320,000 years. That makes a Kalpa. So, whatever was acquired in so many Janmas, so how many Janmas a person might have taken in this time? All of them, all those karmas, they will get destroyed the moment a person gets jnana. And an example is given here. Prabodhate swapna karmavate. Just as all the karmas done during a dream. For example, during the dream, a person does so many karmas, so many things he does, good, bad, everything. They are all destroyed the moment a person gets up from dream. For example, one committed a crime in dream. And he is about to be imprisoned for so long. But the moment he wakes up, how many years he has to spend in prison? None. They all are just destroyed. All of them are gone. Similarly, jnana matrena, all karmas are destroyed. Prabodham. Prabodham means waking up. Swapnavati. Swapnavati refers to the dream karma. And that example, Sankaracharya is going to explain himself in the next shloka that we will read. Shloka 448.
Yat kritam swapna velayam punyam ya papa mulbhanam suptotistasya kim tatsyat swargaya narakaya va. So the Swapna example given in the previous shloka is explained in this shloka by the Acharya. So Swapna Velayam Kritam. Suppose during Swapna, at the time of Swapna, varieties of karmas are done by a person. And what types of karma? Ulbhanam Punyam and Ulbhanam Papam. Great Punya karmas. Ulbhanam means great superlative. Superlative punyas and superlative papas. Ulbhanam, worst karma, worst papas. So some person has done. And normally in Swapna, they would have produced Punya Palam and Papa Palam in the dream. Imagine the person, he wakes up in the middle. Suptam Uttitasya. Suppose the person has woken up from the dream. Tat Kim Syat. What kind of Palam that Punya Karma or Papa Karma can give to him? He has woken up. Kim Syat means Kim Prayojanam Syat. It's a good news and bad news. For example, it's a good news because Papam will not produce suffering to him. It is bad news because all the Punyas, they will all not produce happiness also. That is, Punya Papas are gone the moment he wakes up. Therefore, Swargaya Syat Va. Will it lead to Swarga? Narakaya Syat Va. Will it lead to Naraka? Neither. It is not going to lead either to Swarga or Naraka. The moment whatever Punya Papa Karmas he has done in the dream, the moment he wakes up. Shloka 449. Swarga Yamudasinam Parigyayana Bhoyatam Nashlishyatina Yachayat Kinchite Kadachit Bhavi Karma Bihim. With the previous shloka, Kadachit Bhavi Karma. So, with the previous shloka, the Sanchita topic was over. So, Shankaracharya, now he talks about Prarabdham. Right? That is there for a jnani. Then he said Sanchitam is destroyed for him. Now he wants to talk about the third karma, which namely is Agami karma. So, the jnani is doing varieties of activities in this janma. And most of them done by the jnani are noble karmas. And in spite of that, he might commit some mistakes also, in spite of him, without his knowledge. It's not, even if not deliberately, unknowingly, he can hurt others. He can hurt a mosquito. He can do something, some harm. And because of that, will he get Punyam or Papa? Shankaracharya says, since Jnani does not have Abhimana in Ahankara, since he is not doing those actions for getting Punyam or Papa, or has any Sankalpa for name or fame, those karmas are resolved. Actually, Krishna tells in the Bhagavad Gita, Gata Sangasya Muktasya Dhyanavastita Chetasaha Yajnaya Acharata Karma Samagram Praviliyate. All karmas dissolve, praviliyate. They all dissolve there itself without producing either Punya or Papa for Yajnani. There is only Drishta Palam. The society will get the benefit for his action. But the Adrishta Palam of Punya and Papa, Punya Papa, they are all Adrishta Palam. They do not go to him. Therefore, he says, Swam Asangam Udasinam Parijnaya. Jnani has clearly known that he is Akarta. Akarta Atma Swam. Swam means himself. So, Parijnaya means, so he has clearly known, he clearly knows. As what? Asanga Udasinaha. Without any relation, without any connection with either instruments of karma or objects of karma or the results of karma. He has no association with any of them. Udasinaha. So, ever akartha. Again, Krishna, he presents beautifully in the Bhagavad Gita. Prakritehe kriyamanani gunaihi karmani sarvashaha. Ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. Whereas Tattvavittu Mahabaho, Gunakarma Vibhagayoho, Gunaguneshu Vartante, Iti Matva Nasajate. So Jnani never claims, I am doing karma. And Udasinam Parijnaya. And I am Udasinaha Akarta, like what? He gives an example here in the shloka. Yata Nabaha. Nabaha means space. Just as the space does not do any action, but all actions take place in space. We cannot say space is not doing anything, so abolish it. We cannot say that. Similarly, I don't do anything, but in my presence all actions happen. Therefore, I am space-like consciousness. This Krishna is firm, this knowledge is firmly there in that jnani. I am space-like consciousness. This is called abhimana abhavaha, freedom from abhimana, identification. Therefore, no expectations also, whether my family will acknowledge my contribution, whether my children will recognize my service to them, take care of me in my old age, will the society admire me for completing my duties? All expectations are also not there. So, abhimana abhavaha. And therefore, what happens? Karma bihi na slishyati. This jnani is never tainted by, he is never sullied by those karmas. Here, karmas refer to what? The agami punya papa pala. That's what we should understand. This is not prarabdha sanjita. This is the agami punya papa pala. So, agami punya papa palaihi naiva slishyati. He is not at all affected. Kinchit. Even a little bit of punya papa does not come to him. Kinchit. And kadachit. At any time. It also, any time also, it does not come to him. In short, what? A jnani does not accumulate fresh karma. That is agami karma. And he is explaining this in the next shloka further. Shloka 415. Nana bhoghata yogena suragandena lipyate tatatmopadhi yogena naiva lipyate taddharmair naiva lipyate. So, to point out the sanchita karmas, they will be destroyed. Shankaracharya, he gave what example? The swapna example. So, swapna drishtanta he gave to explain the sanchita karma, how they are destroyed. To point out the agami karma will not come, he gives another example, the space example. So, in the previous shloka, the example was briefly mentioned. Now, Acharya is now trying to explain this further. So, he says, Nabaha suragandena na lipyate. Sura means a liquor or any foul-smelling liquid we can take. So, and within that pot, the pot containing that foul-smelling liquid, space is there, akasha is there. And imagine that pot is removed from there. Akasha continues to be there in that place where the pot was sitting. Akasha continues to be there. After the removal of the pot and the liquid, suppose you smell the space, will it still have the smell? If you find the smell, it is from the air and not from the space. The air that is there in that place. Just as the space is not affected by the object, jnani also is not affected. So he says, Nabaha suragandena na lipyate. And what type of sura? Sura is the liquor. What type of? Gata yogena, the sura which is kept in the pot, gatam. So gata sambandena, it is never tainted, it is never polluted. Tatha, in the same way, atma upadhi yogena. Similarly, the jnani jivaha also, here atma refers to the jnani jivaha. The jnani jivaha also, dharmaihi naiva lipyate, is not affected by the agami punya papa, even if he is associated with the upadis. Dharma he refers to the agami punya papas. The body continues, his body continues, his sense organs continue. And therefore, he continues to act in the world. So, loka sangraha karmani he does for the good of the society, for the good of the people he is associated with, for the benefit of all, he keeps on doing karmas. But they don't affect him. So, even though he is associated with the upadhi and the loka sangraha karmas, the jnani jiva is not affected by agami punya papa. So, prarabdha has to be gone through. Sanchita gets destroyed with jnanam. Agami karma does not affect him. Affect this jnani the moment he gains knowledge. So, this does not affect him also. So these are the effect of the three karmas. Acharya is going to describe still further about these karmas in the following shlokas, which we will see in the next webinar. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitah tasya prakritilina sayaparasamaheshwarah. Sri Krishna arpanamastu. Narayana.